Maybe the cat has a question.
The cat doesn't know it's a cat, so there's no questions.
Yeah, the cat doesn't know that it's in a body either, so he's one step ahead of us.
Right.
Exactly.
Thai pragmatism.
A cat is aware. So why did they not give animals credit for being enlightened? I wonder. They don't have this self-consciousness that we have to deal with.
Well, a cat's not striving to be enlightened, nor does it have any concept of enlightenment. A cat just is.
But it's our concept of enlightenment that prevents us from being enlightened.
Yeah, I mean, the human being wants enlightenment, hears about this thing called enlightenment, and then measures this, okay, is this happening to me? But the me is the block from the concept of enlightenment, and the cat doesn't have this. The cat just goes about its day. When it's hungry, it eats. When it's tired, it sleeps. It's just a... You know, the presence in the cat, although, like if a dog were to go and try to attack the cat understands this body needs protecting, so it would run away. It's not just going to sit there and, oh, you know, everything's good. So there's an awareness of being a body in that there's a need to protect this body. Presence is in the body of a cat, but it's also in the body of the dog and in the body of a mouse and in all these bodies that we see around us. It's the same presence. Just as if you were to go into a dream and dream about cats and dogs, it would be you that's the cat and the dog. The cat and the dog may be friends or may be not friends, but within the dream, that's all it is. It's you. Your spontaneous presence, the entire world is projected on your spontaneous presence.
And only humans can know that, or...
But that's why Maharaj says the human experience is very, very important. Your life, you make good use of your life by investigating your own self. You're not just sleepwalking through. You want to know yourself in a real sense.
So it's like only humans can know they are not the limited self or something.
Well, because the humans think they are limited.
Yeah.
Through the human experience, your belief is, I'm having a human experience, therefore I'm limited. Rather than the presence in this body is the same inside this body and outside this body, and everything that I come into contact with is animated by this same presence, and I am that.
So the unique thing about humans is we can discover our unlimitedness or something.
But the cat doesn't need to discover its unlimitedness.
Right.
It has no concept of limitation. Yeah. From Rami to me, sir, did you hear about a cow in Ramana Ashram? Oh, yes, yes, yeah. That the cow was Lakshmi. Enlightened, or who? Lakshmi, right?
Lakshmi is the name Lakshmi. Of the cow.
There you go.
Yeah. And there's a monument. I've been to Ramana Ashram, and there's a monument to the cow there. There's a.
So in rare instances, it can happen to... an animal, I guess.
Well, again, this is all conceptual because I guess within the concept of illusion, you can have enlightened animals. You can have enlightened people. Nobody's being enlightened. There's no enlightenment. There's nothing. You see, all of this is illusion. Within the illusion, you can say, oh, I understand. But you're still understanding within the illusion. You're never out of the illusion. You're within the illusion, trying to get out of the illusion, using this illusory body that's within the illusion.
So that means the so-called I needs to be dealt, so the rest of the concepts are unnecessary to, you know, deal first.
Yeah, correct. I mean, formless. Just think, very, very, like Maharaj would say, intellectually speaking, space. Is space affected by anything at all?
No.
So the formlessness that you are is more subtle than space because it provides for the space after this knowingness is created. Oh, I exist. And then boom, the consciousness, same as in dream, appears and all these things are in it and all these things are animated. But if you were to become enlightened in your dream tonight, and then you were to say, oh, this cow is enlightened, or oh, this cat is enlightened, and you have many followers, and the cat and the cow, you keep them everywhere you go to let other people know that you're so good in this enlightenment. You wake up. You see, and it's gone, and it never was, and there was never any enlightenment or enlightened cows or enlightened cats. These are all stories, and you came across these stories when you came along across with the body. I'm not trying to beat on anyone, because a lot of people will say, oh, who are you to say? That's Ramana Maharshi who said this cow was enlightened or whatever. But Ramana Maharshi knows himself in a real sense, the presence within the body, knowing I am not body, and then participating in the illusion, as all of us are.
So, my understanding may be coming back to the...
I'm sorry, what?
No, you... my understanding here is, maybe it's a thought, okay? Everything is a thought when you know, we try to deal here. So here this thought is, deal yourself first. That's it.
Yeah.
Rather than making everything sense or trying to put an order in every other place.
Know yourself in a real sense. And as Maharaj says, respect all the saints. Okay. Each one went about their own way to discover their own self. And then they started talking to others based on the concept that there are no others. But then these others who believe they were others listened to these masters who know that there's nothing and then kind of jotted down and tried to understand and make sense of what they were saying. Maharaj has made it very clear, accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. All these masters are your own selfless self. Nisargadatta Maharaj is your own selfless self. Sri Siddhameshwar Maharaj is your own selfless self. There's one. And even to say one is not accurate, because to say one, you have to know, and then to say, oh, now there's one. But this one that is, that you are, knows nothing, because there's nothing other to know. Nothing is above this that you are. You are. That's just it. And now that you're within this body form, you can know yourself in a real sense using this body, this human existence you've been given. Now you know yourself in a real sense. Oh, so that I. That's pretty much, and even that is really no gain of anything, because all you're gaining is knowing that there was nothing. There was nothing to gain because nothing other than you. So all of this illusion that there's something other than your own self, okay, now you know there's nothing other than my own self. But this something that appeared on spontaneous presence that now knows that it doesn't exist, how is that a gain? It's only to keep this mind flow, because this mind flow is constantly keeping the illusion based on the body pressure. I am a body in a world, and I need to do these things. I need to all this. But when you know yourself in a real sense, this mind flow stops because it's speaking about things that aren't true. So you're formless, using form in the moment to go about, do your job, do your duties. You get hungry, you eat. Tired, you sleep. Just like the cat that we just talked about.
So the gain is just that you don't suffer, at least.
Well, the illusion, you see, you're suffering about illusory things. It's like a little kid who wonders the monsters underneath their bed and gets out of the bed and jumps, you know, like 2 or 3 feet to run to the bathroom at nighttime with a nightlight, because of the monsters under the bed might get them. So this concept that there's a monster under the bed is then negated when you turn on the light and you look, oh, no monster under the bed. So this one concept, there is a monster, is removed by there is no monster. But there never was a monster, you see.
Okay. Like the example tells her that a deer, you know, searching for water.
Yes. So, the mirage.
Mirage.
And once the deer sticks his nose in the sand, he's not going to go back for a drink. He absolutely knows. I cannot quench my thirst in this sand. It may appear to be a beautiful lake, but I just stuck my nose in the lake and it was sand.
Last week, you know, you were talking about, you know, how the mantra helps to deal with the, you know, illusionary layers of so and so, like subconsciously how it helps rather than you knowing like whether how it is being removed, but it helps.
Yeah,
I was experimenting with that. It's quite nice actually. I was reading Selfless Self and the journal on the Ramakant Dakshina, and actually it helps, sir. You know, sticking to the essential and questioning. You know, whenever there is a movement of mind or, you know, there is something is happening, then questioning who am I, or if unable to understand that, just sticking to the mantra.
Yes. Because Sri Ramakant Maharaj, who is your own self, said, here's a mantra. Whenever you start to fall back into the illusory ditch, invite the attention of the invisible listener, so that I am that. I am Brahman, Brahman I am. Soham, aham brahmasmi. This mantra, you remain, and you see, as I'm sure you've seen, you watch the body go through and do various things. You can pop popcorn, count the timer, and still remain with your selfless self. In other words, when you, I saw your eyebrows go up, pop popcorn. You can take like a Jiffy Pop popcorn of put in the microwave for 4 minutes, yes? And you remain with your selfless self. You don't have to give yourself away. You just remain with mantra and you observe yourself popping popcorn. You might observe yourself sitting down eating popcorn, but you're not creating an experience, an experiencer from that.
Yes.
Earlier, in traffic, remain with the selfless self, mantra. Then you're not experiencing being stuck in traffic. Therefore, you're not stuck in traffic. Because you're remaining with yourself, and before you know it, the cars are moving, and the experience of being stuck in traffic doesn't impress.
Yes,
so then the mind flow and emotion doesn't impress.
Yeah, with this, the earlier there is, you know, identification with this flow. Now that identification is being erased, yes. Then this chanting is happening.
Absolutely. The mantra erases all the illusory layers. Like Maharaj talks about all the time, the antivirus software. The virus is, I am somebody in a world having problems, having good days and bad days and all this sort of thing. Mantra erases this slowly, silently, and permanently. Maharaj talks about all the wrong files. The wrong files are, and we've talked about this, from the perspective of this body, I am seeing and experiencing, and that creates footprints in memory of various experiences from the perspective of I am a body. This is the wrong knowledge. These are the wrong files. You are not body, you are formless. You are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. Body is not your identity. All of your memories are based on a body identity with body knowledge that you are not. So the mantra allows you to be erasing these, because these wrong files are what then when something happens and you say, oh, this is happening to me. And maybe something similar happened to me a while ago, or somebody told me that this something had happened to them, and it was really terrible, and the next thing that's going to happen is something, but these are the wrong files, because they're all based on the perspective of being a body, and you are not a body. You are absolutely formless in this moment. Prior to being this, you're absolutely formless. And after this body can no longer sustain your essence, you are absolutely formless. You never were a form. That's why Maharaj says, you are not body, you were not body, and you are not going to remain a body. And everything you've acquired with this body, all the body relations, it's nice, okay, you have family, yes? But the family is your own self, you're formless. But these body-based relations came along with the body. Prior to being this, there were no body relations. All this knowledge that we've acquired of going and finding out that I need to find spirituality because I have a painful life and a painful existence, I want this spirituality to give me peace. Again, that's what Maharaj calls body knowledge. It came along with the body. Prior to being this, you did not have any of this body knowledge. So you're formless. This knowledge is meaningless. The only thing that means anything is to remain with your selfless self. Acquaint yourself with yourself. And that's why Maharaj talks about have satsang with yourself. Have satsang with yourself is this thing out here is happening, but I remain. Satsang is remaining in the being or the which is your own selfless self.
You know, sometimes it feels like is the understanding of oneself in the real sense is nothing but being a nihilist.
Is the thing that's what?
Nihilist. Nihilistic. Nihilist.
But then see, you're thinking that there's something that you're erasing or you're getting rid of. But the thing that you're getting rid of is just an illusion. And again, we can't sit there and use illusion as a concept, which we often do. Just like you say, the mirage is a concept. And then you say, oh, that's what the mirage is. A mirage is something that's appearing as something, but is actually nothing. Ask the deer the value of the mirage when it sticks its nose in the sand. There was an idea that there was water. This idea was removed by the reality. The reality is removing everything that is not true, because all of this is appearing on your spontaneous presence. Nihilist, from what I understand, is just negating and denying everything. But there's nothing to deny. Everything that you're denying is only what you'll see is not true when you know yourself in a real sense. That's also why when people say, oh, you know, get rid of the mind, that's just like the kid who's jumping off the bed to go to the bathroom to turn the light on because they're afraid of the monsters. When they turn on the light, there's no monsters under the bed, so the reality is shown there was nothing. Are you slaying the monsters? Do you need to slay the monsters? No, they're illusory. They're imagination. You have created this concept of monsters under the bed. You don't have to deny their existence. They don't exist.
The same goes for things that supposedly do exist, I guess.
Yeah, all the appearances. All the appearances of all the people and all the world and all this sort of stuff. You don't have to deny its existence. You have to know yourself in a real sense. Once you know yourself in a real sense, you'll know that they did not, could not, and were not ever existing. Except as in dream. Then you'll automatically, you'll say, ah, okay, so the reason I got confused that they look like they were existing is because I thought that the dream I have at night is somehow different than this waking state that I seem to be experiencing. I thought for a time, from the body perspective, that I lay down at night and have dreams, and then I wake up and I have a life. But in reality, all of this is appearing within this consciousness, this bubble of illusion, and none of it has happened or is true. I know myself in a real sense. It can't be true.
You know, in the journal, it was mentioned like, you know, you are also even doubtful, is there a thing called truth or realization? And then after taking the mantra, when you started doing it, then you felt like, you know, it's real. So how did you manage? How it was managed?
It again, going to India, I knew I was going to meet the presence in the form of Maharaj. The presence I'd already started to feel. I'd already started to turn to it in times of trouble. I'd already started to worship that presence basically as my own conception of God. And then I very much understood that this was manifesting as Maharaj. And that was kind of the last point of mind, because mind could sit there and say, everything that you're feeling, everything you're experiencing, you're going crazy. You know, what's all this presence and this and that? And so there could still be that fighting there, because there's still a concept that I'm a body worshiping a presence. When I went to India, then I met Maharaj, who was the presence in the form of Sri Ramakant Maharaj, who basically said exactly that you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. This presence is all there is. And the entire world is appearing on that spontaneous presence. And then the mantra, this is so that you can erase these false concepts of being a body worshiping presence and know that this body that you're using is within the presence that you are. So putting the hand on the head and whispering in the ear, this is your true name. The body was labeled John, and that is not a true name. That's the name that acquired all the experiences and, you know, had all the memories, good memories, bad memories. I did this thing, I did that thing, based on this name that's on this body called John. But now Master whispers in your ear the mantra and says, this is your true name. The consciousness giving consciousness, the mantra, through the vehicle of consciousness to escape from the illusion that I'm somebody receiving a mantra. And I took it very seriously. You know, every moment was there. Plus, I was so blessed. Thank you again, Master, that right after taking mantra, I got very, very, very sick. I didn't get to think. I just remained with mantra. I clung to mantra like it was a life preserver, which it was, because I got through the food poisoning and all the experiences of that without an experience being created, without memories or without fear, without, you know, sitting in bed at night thinking, oh my God, I'm all the way in India. What if I die from this thing? I didn't think that. I remained with my selfless self. Even when I was going and throwing up in the bathroom, I remained with my selfless self. And through that whole experience, there wasn't this pressure. It was actually loosening. It was like I was throwing up all the crap out of my beingness, whatever you want to call it, cleaning. And the mantra did exactly that. It was a, I don't know, it's a full-time thing. It's not a part-time thing. It's not like I go to work Monday through Friday, and for 1 hour a day, I sit with myself and mantra. Okay, it's good in the beginning to sit with yourself in meditation, but the mantra is continuous. Mantra, all the time. Maharaj says, you know, when do you do the mantra? Maharaj says, all the time. You can sit for 1 hour, 2 hours, remain with yourself with self, but then all the time, every time, whatever you're doing, you could be going to the shower and mantra, going to the bathroom, mantra, getting in your car, driving to work, mantra, sitting at your desk, doing your work, mantra, going home, mantra. All the time, you're keeping remaining with your selfless self, because you understand then that this presence, which has been labeled God, has given you this mantra. Like, it's like, you know, people talk about religion or whatever. Well, your favorite deity just came down and said, if you want to worship at all, mantra. That's it. Know yourself in a real sense. Because this illusory world is just not true. When you know yourself in a real sense, it can't be true. And then, you know, you won't have the questions of what happens when this happens. You'll know this is happening within the bubble of illusion. This body form is here and it's going to go through what it goes through. But how am I concerned? It's like a neighbor's child. I'm not so involved in it. Neighbor's child gets a cold or gets very sick. Nisargadatta Maharaj used this example. Neighbor's child gets very sick. It's sad. Okay. It's not immediately affecting you. So the body is a neighbor's child. Maharaj uses the example, the body is on lease. It's not your body. The five elemental body. You're like the tenant, so to speak. And this body is a five elemental body. It's on lease. And only for a small time, through the duration of a life, so to speak, which is the birth of time and then the ending of time. Because prior to this birth, there was no concept of time. And now there is, because you have an object in time that seems to be progressing. When you leave the body, so to speak, then there's no longer any concept of time, because you no longer have an object in time with which you're measuring this concept of living a life of time. But all of that is not true. Everything that happens between birth and death is an illusion, because you're unborn. You're formless. You can't die. You weren't born. You can't be divided or cut or in any way limited. Then we talk about the last step, that the mind sits there and says, wait a minute. So my life didn't matter? I mean, what you're telling me, John, is right now I could stick a gun to my head and shoot myself and it wouldn't matter at all. But you see, now that you're using this body, okay, use this body. Just know that all the usage of the body is just on a temporary rental basis. It's not your body, it's the five elements body. And just like you rent a summer house, you go to a summer house, you have a very nice time for an entire week. You might even cry a little bit. Oh, we're going home. We no longer are in the summer beach house. But you rented it only for a specific time and then you left. And the same in here. When this body can no longer sustain the essence, you leave. But you're not going anywhere because it never was.
find something that, that helps me is like when I listen to the bhajans, sometimes I'll read the bhajans, well, I'll listen to the, everything I have is recorded, because it's very hard for me to read now. But basically what I'll do is I'll listen to them in English periodically just to know what they really are saying. And they're just expressions of worship of the master, you know? And from that, sometimes, you know, basically I'll just, if I go for a walk or something, it's just the idea of worshiping the master. And, you know, it's like worshiping the master in form, you know, like Saguna worship. And then it does happen that, you know, you go into a worship that's, you're worshiping the formless. You know, it's kind of like, it does actually work when you worship the master with form. I mean, like I listen a lot to Ranjit's sat songs and so forth. And I have a very, just because of being with him, you know, I just can see all of the things that he would say and his, just the way he was. You know, so there's something very personal there, a connection. So it's just this worship that goes to the master. And then, you know, like that goes on for a little while, and then all of a sudden it just kind of breaks into something bigger than the master. Or, and then masters will pass by in front of me. I mean, like it goes, it may be with Ranjit, and then it may be with Siddha Rameshwara, you know, and then maybe with Ramakant Maharaj, or Siddha Anusagaratama, or Christ, or, you know, Ramana, you know, like it just, there's just, they're all of that one, formless oneness, you know. But, so I enjoy worshiping the master with form. It's not that I enjoy, it just happens that way, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I have pictures all throughout the house.
Yeah.
I bow to the master, I would say 100 times a day. Mm-hmm. That's no exaggeration, because I'll go and have a nice cup of tea and just some, oh, thank you, master. Or even food, or I mean, anything outside driving around. Oh, master, this, or oh, thank you, master. I have a little picture now, not in this new car, but I had a little picture that was actually kind of taped to the dash of Maharaj. Now I have the phone that's up on the, it's like a little thing that holds it on the dash. And because Maharaj is on the phone, he's there. So there's a constant just, it's a selfless self-devotion and being grateful for everything in the experience. No matter whether it's seemingly good or bad or whatever, master has shown you ultimate reality. You are that. So of course there's constant bowing. At nighttime, I come here and put my head on the pillow and I visualize bowing to Maharaj's feet. And these things are just, they're just, you desire to do this. You desire to be with your own selfless self. The reading, the bhajan, especially in the morning, definitely listen to bhajan while making tea and then turning on the computer and doing this, but bhajan is on. It's a constant spiritual atmosphere. Maharaj has said, presence loves this. What you impress reflects. If I'm bowing and constantly at the feet of the master, and a lot of Maharaj's writings, when you listen to the poems that he's written, he says, I am at Nisargadatta's feet, like always. And this is the same. I am at the feet of the master. This I that I believe myself to be was an instrument to know myself in a real sense. That instrument is no longer needed, so it remains at the master's feet.
Remember one time this fella asked Ranjit Maharaj, if everything is illusion, then aren't you illusion also? He said, yes, I'm a first class illusion.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Ramakant Maharaj, in one of the satsangs that was recorded, he says, everything is illusion, including yourself and myself. there's nothing, you see. Nothing isn't just, there's nothing except me. No, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. That's why practicing I don't exist is very good. I'm getting upset. Oh, I don't exist. You know, which is basically remaining with the mantra, because the mantra is erasing the illusory layers that are trying to impress upon you that you're existing as a body in a world. So this is just not true.
But if you go around saying there's no master, then that's nihilism, I guess.
Well, the master is, again, and Maharaj would say, see yourself as formless, see the master as formless, and then there's no separation. And the last thing to give up is this sense of existence that you say, I am. You know, you remain with this I am, you remain with your selfless self, and then there's no one, and Maharaj says this too. You meditate on the meditator until there is no meditator, there is no meditation. You concentrate on the concentrator until the concentrator dissolves within the concentration, because there's nothing other. And you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. Presence is invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity. That you are. If at all you want to compare, compare yourself to sky or space. Nothing. Except your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. And you say, how can you say there's no God? There's only God. Well, there's only God because that's the concept that's been given to the presence that you are, to that that you are, the invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity that has been given many names and has been worshipped in many forms, but never was a form, never had a name. The same presence that's in the body that you believe yourself to have is in every being. So now tell me how you can have conflict, how you can have hatred, or like Maharaj says, jealousy or envy. Because one body that doesn't exist seems to be doing better in a life than the body that doesn't exist that you believe yourself to be. And yet it's the presence, the only existence, it's animating both. So how are you going to be jealous or envy or have hatred for someone? And the only discriminating you should be doing is discriminating quickly all the false, all the illusion, not the things that this body likes and does not like, or the experiences that you do not or do not like. All experiences, because you're formless. And the discrimination is, oh, this presence, that's not this presence. It is gone. Because everything's occurring within this presence. Everything appears on spontaneous presence. And it can be discarded. When something happens that seems to be happening, you know it's not happening. So you discard it. You discriminate. Discriminating against other people and saying like, oh, this guy's really smart and this guy's really dumb. Or even more stupid is to say the color of this guy's skin. You're not a body. So to say this guy's skin or where this guy's country is, that doesn't make sense either. You're not a body. Does sky or space have any discrimination in this way? No. Does, and Maharaj uses the example all the time, does Russia Sky war with America Sky? Or China Sky try to spy on Russia Sky? No. Oh, it's sky is sky. Formlessness is formlessness.
But some other human will, may, for, from his perspective, you would be considered possibly a hypocrite because he sees your body still appearing to do things. I guess.
Because he knows himself as a body, he's going to see bodies. You know yourself in a real sense, you don't see bodies. You see objects moving in front of you, scenes appearing and disappearing without any sort of timeline or without any sort of rhyme or reason. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj uses the movie screen and the theater. Show's over, you leave the theater. When the theater looks very scary, oh, you're scared. When the theater looks very sad, oh, you may be sad with them. But nothing's happening, it's not you.
Not even that pointing of hypocrisy also. No, see, that is also not being, that is also not true. Then there is no conflict.
Correct.
So hypocrisy is not possible then.
Well, and remember, Arjuna and Krishna, if there's a war, you do what you're supposed to do. You do your job, you do your duties. If your duties are to go and shoot the enemy, then you go and shoot the enemy, but you absolutely know that no one's dying and no one's being killed. No one's killing. There is no killing. There's a duty that you don't escape. You do your job, you do your duties, what's right in front of you, and that's it. Now see, like in Arjuna's case, if Arjuna were to go and say, I am a warrior and I have killed so many and now people must bow to me, then this is taking an ego. Then there is the illusion that people are being killed and that you are a killer. But if you're just doing your job and doing your duties with no attachment, then you do what is needing to be done. But you absolutely know. And that's why Arjuna was able to, and this is why Ramakant Maharaj has given this example many times, in the heat of battle, he did not lose himself. Now think about that. We're sitting here saying, oh, you know, sometimes I get a little bit stressed or whatever. Are you having, like, people attacking you with swords and stuff? No, probably not. I'm not. So he didn't lose his own self. After he spoke with Krishna, he absolutely knew, oh, so that I am that. And he did not lose that throughout an entire battle. So think of this and be serious. Know yourself in a real sense. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. Nothing is there except your selfless self. Okay.
Okay.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good day.
Thank you very much. Good
evening. Thank you. Jai Guru.